On Sunday, Jimmy Carter becomes the first U.S. president, current or former, to visit Fidel Castro's Cuba. Castro personally invited Carter in what analysts say is a bid to boost his international standing. Carter and Castro oppose the U.S. economic blockade of Cuba, but Carter is expected to condemn Cuba's human rights record during his five-day trip. The visit occurs at a time of heightened contact and tension between Cuba and the United States. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Mexico City.
Since leaving office, Carter has devoted his career to working for human rights and democracy. On the eve of the presidential vote in Nicaragua last November, Carter, there as an observer, said human rights have always guided his philosophy. His comments suggest the line he'll likely take in discussions with Fidel Castro this weekend.
I never met with a foreign leader while I was in office for 4 years that human rights wasn't high on the agenda to be discussed. And they knew it when they came to see me, and in my public statements I made it clear that the relationship between the United States and that particular country, whatever it was, would be dependent to a substantial degree on their human rights policy. And I think it had some effect.
Though not in Cuba, he lamented that day. So what might Castro gain from Carter's visit? Though Carter's message will be partly critical, Castro is hoping the messenger's presence alone will give his stature a lift. The Cuban leader took a similar risk in 1998 by hosting Pope John Paul II, says William Leo Grand, a political science professor at American University. Though the Pope in his mass scolded Cuba for its religious intolerance, Leo Grand says Castro still came out ahead.
Castro wanted the Pope in order to bolster the legitimacy of his government. I think you've got a similar kind of situation here. President Carter is going in the hopes of bolstering the cause of human rights and democracy in Cuba, and President Castro has invited him to come in the hopes of bolstering the people in the United States who are in favor of a reconciliation or normalization of relations.
These are contradictory times for U.S.-Cuban relations. American farmers are selling millions of dollars in food to Cuba. Tens of thousands of Americans are visiting the island each year despite a travel ban. But the Bush administration emphasizes there has been no diplomatic thaw in the 43-year standoff. The U.S. considers Cuba a terrorist state and is accusing it of meddling in last month's coup attempt in Venezuela and of selling biological weapons technology to so-called rogue states. On Monday, the State Department's Latin America point man, Otto Reich, reiterated President Bush's stance.
The Castro regime permits no freedom. It thwarts its people's legitimate aspirations. President Bush has a profound commitment to help the people of Cuba achieve that great universal dream to be free.
In an effort to undermine any Castro advantage, Cuban exile groups and conservative U.S. congressmen have been lobbying Carter to press Castro on the issue of political prisoners. The international advocacy group Human Rights Watch estimates there are some 240 prisoners of conscience on the island. America's Deputy Director Joanne Mariner says structural changes are needed within Cuba's government to ensure basic liberties are respected.
So, I mean, as is well known, it's a one-party state, and it restricts nearly all avenues of political dissent. Political dissidents, human rights activists, independent journalists face criminal prosecution in Cuba. They face detentions, house arrest, restrictions on their travel, as well as a pretty systematic form of surveillance.
Carter is to address the Cuban people live on national television Tuesday evening, an unprecedented opportunity for an American politician in communist Cuba. Both Castro opponents and supporters are hoping Carter's uncensored speech will favor their respective agendas. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Mexico City.